Corey, I think I know the answer to this question, but do you own any Brooks Brothers suits?
Oh, no, not at all.
Well, that's probably a good thing because there's a new fashion coming into style courtesy of a Florida attorney.
Well, that
so we'll
I'm
be talking
all about.
About that. Yeah.
That sounds great. All right, but building your dream home, that sounds like fun, right?
Sure, yeah.
Yeah, but it's not as hard as you think. You could even do it from your prison cell.
My prison cell?
Maybe, I don't know.
Future
Maybe you did
planning.
Something wrong. Who knows?
Well, it's an election year,
yep.
And that means Florida's freaky politicians are in the spotlight
They're
this year.
Always in the spotlight this time of year.
So true.
All that and more coming up on this week's episode of the Florida Freak Show.
Hurry, hurry, hurry! Ladies and gents, boys and girls, step right up for the Florida Freak Show!
Welcome back to the Florida Freak Show. I'm Corey O'Donnell.
And I'm Kirsten O'Donnell.
And if you've ever read a Florida news story online or seen a TV newscast, you know that Florida's greatest export are weird stories about the people that live and play here. And we have a few of those stories, don't we, Kirsten?
We sure do, yep. As always.
As always.
But before we start, if you're a fan of this podcast, and I mean, let's face it, you probably wouldn't have made it this far into it if you
gotta
weren't.
You got to be a fan.
Please do us all a favor and go to podcastawards.com because we are eligible for the 15th annual Podcast Awards
all
later
right.
this year. But we need your nominations to do so.
Yeah.
We are only in two categories, the People's Choice and the Comedy category. All you need to do is register on the website, podcastawards.com, then pick Florida Freak Show from the drop-down menu in those two categories. Easy peasy, lemon squeezy.
Very easy. Podcastawards.com, just pick it from People's Choice and the Comedy categories.
Correctamundo.
Excellent.
And don't worry, we're going to remind you of this again later at the end of the episode.
Oh, good. That sounds great.
Just in case you forget. But enough pandering.
Yep.
Let's get down to business. And this week's stories, as always, ripped from the headlines.
Yep, ripped from those headlines.
The first story comes to us from the Daily Beast. So this time last year, Jared Murray began building a dream home in Lake Placid, Florida. But contractors on the job had a feeling that something wasn't quite right.
Uh-oh.
For one thing, Jared's phone number changed every couple of weeks.
That's pretty weird.
For another thing, nobody ever met Jared in person, just folks who claimed to be his relatives.
That's really weird.
Well, another red flag was the deliveries of construction materials, which came at odd hours by guys who looked like transients and driving U-Hauls.
Very professional.
The supplies always came from Lowe's, with no exceptions.
Okay.
So it turns out nobody ever met Jared because he's been in South Bay, Florida for most of the last decade.
All right.
That's the South Bay Correctional Facility for most of the last decade.
That's a little different.
So an FBI investigation says that the inmate has been using smuggled cell phones and a series of stolen identities who all happen to have credit lines at Lowe's. An FBI affidavit says that Jared Murray has bilked Lowe's out of more than $1 million worth of inventory, much of which he sold online to pay for the construction of his dream home.
Unbelievable.
Murray's sentence is already up to 25 years, and the wire fraud and money laundering from this probably won't help that situation at all. So, as you might guess, he probably won't be getting an opportunity to move into that home. The house is a 3-bed, 2-bath with 1,600 square feet, and it was recently listed for sale at $185,000.
Wow. This is amazing. I mean, here's a Florida man who's trading in his bars for a dream home and grifting Lowe's the entire time.
Yeah.
That's incredible. I thought Joe Exotic was making a lot happen from behind bars, but this guy trumps him in a huge way. I can't believe that he's able to do all this with just, you know, smuggled cell phones or burners, as I like to call them.
Ah, the burner phone.
Yeah. Anything with any story that has the burner in it, I'm all for.
Yeah, so I guess the moral to the story is if you try to call someone and they never answer, maybe they're keeping their phone in their prison wallet.
Maybe. But maybe by calling them is helping them out in a lot of ways.
Right.
If they've got it on vibrate.
A little tingle.
Yeah.
A little tingle.
A little tingle never hurt you. So I have a couple questions that I wanted to. So how does $1 million only account for a house that's about a fifth of that value? That's just crazy to me.
So you're saying this is a flop and not a flip.
This is a big flop.
So Tarek and Christina would not approve, those of you who watch HGTV.
It may not be if you weren't in prison, it may not be the best use of your time.
Now, it does say that a lot of the building supplies that he purchased fraudulently,
yeah.
he actually was selling. He wasn't using them from the home. He was selling them not on Craigslist, but on a service kind of like Craigslist.
Ah, gotcha.
So he was selling them for like pennies on the dollar. So So he was using that to pay the contractors. Yeah. You know, it's you're digging yourself into a hole
here. It makes a lot of sense. I mean, you've got to have a lot of moving parts just to get these things done. Just the fact that he could even make this stuff happen from behind bars, it should tell me right there. Yeah, it's going to cost you a little bit more for your buck to do that. I'm just saying that we always talk a lot in the business world about ROI. Not a whole lot of ROI
when
it comes to this. But he's got a lot of time.
Yeah, that's
true. You know,
true.
Behind bars to make this stuff happen.
Well, and those million, I mean, that $1 million, if you think about it, he's probably having to spend a lot of money just to get those cell phones smuggled into the prison, right? I mean, I'd think it'd be like probably $1,000 to bribe somebody into bringing them to you.
Yep.
You know, I read an article that said that last year there were 9,000 phones in Florida prisons that were confiscated. That's like 25 a day.
That's crazy.
You've got to think Jared Murray's responsible for at least like 100 of those, right?
Yeah, yeah, he's a big percentage of it. I can't imagine being able to pull off something of this magnitude without going through a ton of them.
Well, and I think the problem is he really just needed to get this taken care of faster before they figured out his creative scheme here.
Yeah.
But you know, you got to get rid of the house, you got to get it built, you got to do it all before the housing bubble bursts. Yeah. That's a lot of responsibility and pressure.
The ambition, though, of this guy to pull this off, it's like, it's unfortunate that he's, you know, tacked on a whole bunch of years to a sentence, because he could probably do pretty well if he didn't have all of these restrictions on him.
So do you remember last year, there was an inmate in some correctional institution in Florida, I don't remember where, who actually shot a documentary on contraband cell phones.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He was like hiding them, but he was using just the ones that he had and pulling something, which was incredible, and it made for some incredible footage.
Yeah, I think it was called something like Behind the Barbed Wire or something like that. The thing that I thought was most interesting about it was, he shot a lot of the video by hiding a cell phone inside of a Bible.
Oh.
And in the word holy, on Holy Bible, he cut a hole
out of
O. Yeah. And that was where the phone's lens was and how he shot video.
That's brilliant. It's just genius. And you know, if there's any item that you could probably get out of walking around in, you know, with in the prison system, it would be a Holy Bible, I would think, you know, just a regular Bible. It would be a Bible of any kind, holy or unholy. I mean,
are there unholy Bibles?
No, I was trying to make a joke. I just couldn't get you to laugh on it. But I would just think that nobody's really going to make that big of a deal about, always carrying a Bible around. He's, you know, I don't know, getting right with the Lord, whatever it might be. Yeah. So it's kind of a brilliant idea.
So I keep thinking back to this house, right? You know, 1,600 square feet, 3-bed, 2-bath.
Yep.
I mean, that's a pretty typical home for the area that we live in right now.
Sure.
What's that House Hunters? See, I'm stuck on HGTV.
Yeah.
What's that House Hunters episode like?
I don't know. I mean, he's got all these like nooks and crannies and different things.
Right.
Going on,
I mean,
with it.
I think you've probably got like an in-home tattoo studio,
yeah.
maybe like a escape room / solitary chamber.
Right. You know, just because you're so used to it already, it's like
Absolutely,
you want to kind of build that into it.
Ooh,
yeah.
Series of tunnels.
Mm, yeah. That could just be fun just in general.
Well, you
could
know,
be fun for the kids.
Yeah, well, you know, the husband wants all of this stuff and the wife just wants a big closet.
Yeah, that's all that matters. You're right. Yeah. Like trade in the man cave, trade in just give me a bigger closet.
I'm happy with a bigger closet. Absolutely. All right. Moving on to our next story. This one comes to us from the Daily Business Review at law.com.
All right.
Miami Eternal. He's an eternal attorney. Miami attorney Samuel J. Rabin Jr. needed to make an appearance at the federal courthouse in Miami for a sentencing hearing recently. But as we all know, Miami's pretty much the epicenter of the COVID-19 pandemic.
Big hotspot.
Rabin had the option of making his court appearance via Zoom, but says he believes a lawyer has an ethical obligation to stand with their client in case the client needs to confer with their attorney, and he said it was just too important for him to do online.
Makes sense.
So Rabin made his appearance in person, wearing a full hazmat suit, gloves, respirator mask, and face shield.
Oh, wow.
Rabin said he got a lot of cheers of approval from marshals and court security officers. He also got approval for the sentence that his client had agreed to.
Nice.
He says he doesn't plan to return to a physical courtroom anytime soon, but he's willing to bring the hazmat suit back for an encore if he needs to.
Well, it's always good to have it because this hazmat suit sounds like an ace up the sleeve now that he'll be able to use anytime you need to use it. Of course, it would be hard to get that ace out of that sleeve if you're wearing the hazmat suit.
Right, because it's probably like duct taped closed.
Yeah, that could be a problem. But so, this is really great. I mean, I just love hearing this kind of story. Who knew hazmat suits were getting a big comeback?
Right. I mean, you think about it. You've got Brooks Brothers, we mentioned earlier, Beau Brummel, you know, some of the real fancy clothiers.
Yeah, even the big bespoke suit companies.
Yeah, right. So maybe 3M. Could get in the game with like bespoke hazmat suits.
Yeah, having them tailored perfectly to your body.
Pinstripe hazmat suits, double breasted. Because those can really
make you look very, you know, bunchy and billowy.
Very true. Yeah. I think you need something a little bit more fitted, a little more tapered, streamlined. Very nice.
Yeah.
Very nice.
Vertical stripes, you know, to take away some of that.
Absolutely. Yeah. Maybe some corresponding pocket squares neckties. You know, I think we're onto something.
Well, I mean, this is a new world that we're living in. We have to get creative with dealing. You know, everybody's wearing masks now, so people are, you know, sort of showing off their personality with their masks.
Sure, Dr. Fauci wears his Washington Nationals mask at press conferences, so, you know, why not something that shows off your personality?
Right. The next evolution is to take suits and just turn them into hazmat suits. I love the idea. I think Brooks Brothers should get right on it. I'm sure people will buy them up like crazy.
And I think the ladies too. Let's not be sexist. Yeah. You know, there are ladies who wear suits as well. I think, you know, this is the type of thing that I think Lady Gaga could really get into.
Do they have a hazmat pencil skirt?
Ooh, I don't think that would work.
No, probably not.
But you know, women like jumpsuits and rompers are already kind of popular. Yeah. You know, it's not that different, really.
Yeah, the jumpsuit's actually a perfect parlay into that.
Right, exactly. So what is it with Florida attorneys and elaborate costumes?
I don't know, but we are seeing a lot more of those with the Grim Reaper guy.
Right. Daniel Yolfelder, he dresses up like the Grim Reaper, patrols Florida's beaches. Yeah, we've talked about him a few times. Yeah. Now we've got our hazmat guy. I feel like, I don't know, like being a Disney character or your college mascot is like almost a prerequisite for law school at
this
point.
Hazmat Harry. Yep. Yeah. Like showing up. And the thing I'm immediately thinking of is, you know, we got all these characters that are now showing up in the courtrooms. It's like everything in Florida's turned out to look like an episode of Night Court.
Oh, yeah.
Just where it was just this constant stream of like weird characters coming in, and just add the lawyers right there to it. I'd like to see Dan Fielding in a hazmat suit. Yeah, Reinhold Fielding, sorry. That's a real deep cut.
I'm so sorry, people.
It's a great show.
If you can ever find Night Court, watch it. It's good stuff.
And let us know where it is, too. We're trying to find it.
Yeah, but yeah, absolutely. Like a Night Court episode.
Yeah.
All we need is Harry Anderson. R.I.P.
Yep, R.I.P.
Moving on. Mm-hmm. Coronavirus is definitely bringing out the freak in Florida this month.
Oh, yeah, it is.
As we've seen earlier, our next story comes from WTSP.com. That's 10 Tampa Bay.
Yep.
The Food and Drug Administration recently began receiving reports of people who needed to be hospitalized and some people who even died after drinking something called the Miracle Mineral Solution, or MMS.
Miracle Mineral Solution. Sounds good.
Tens of thousands of bottles of MMS were sold by a church, and I'm using air quotes, so even though you can't see me, a church
with air quotes, yep,
called the Genesis 2 Church of Health and Healing in Bradenton.
Yep,
the church marketed MMS as a miracle cure for dozens of serious diseases and disorders, including cancer, Alzheimer's, autism, multiple sclerosis, AIDS. And most importantly, of course, COVID-19.
Added to the list.
Federal prosecutors have now charged Mark Greenon and his sons Jonathan, Jordan, and Joseph with conspiracy to defraud the U.S., conspiracy to violate the Federal Food, Drug, and Cosmetic Act, and criminal contempt.
Wow.
PMS, by the way, is a chemical mixture containing sodium chlorite, acid, and water.
Oh.
Ingesting it causes the solution to turn into chlorine dioxide, which is a powerful bleach that's frequently used as an industrial water treatment and to bleach wood pulp.
That's awful.
It is awful. By the way, the Genesis Church was created allegedly for the specific purpose of avoiding government regulation of MMS. So Hazmat Crews raided the church last week and confiscated 4 tons of sodium chlorite, 22 gallons of miracle mineral solution, and 50 gallons of muriatic acid.
Ugh. This is just so bad.
It's terrible.
So many mistakes are being made here.
Mistakes.
I'm always.
You make it sound like these little goofs.
I know. I'm always looking for like the ways that these criminals could just make tweaks to make this whole thing work. Just say that it's a COVID cure and that it'll just cure your COVID instead of all of these other diseases or issues that people have. Cancer, Alzheimer's, autism, multiple sclerosis, and AIDS. Why does it have to cure all of these things? Why can't it just cure one thing?
Well, they're trying to expand their target market. I guess. This has actually been around
for... It's like throwing spaghetti, right? It hits everything.
This has been around for many, many years. So they just, right. like many marketers do, you latch on to the thing that is trendy at the time.
Right.
And hey, nothing is more trendy than novel coronavirus.
Yeah.
So you latch on to the thing that's trendy at the time and you just kind of rebrand. I think that's what they did.
Why is it always some sort of bleach too? Like I get that bleach is good for like cleaning like outer surfaces, but outer surfaces are a lot different than inner parts of you.
Yes, very true.
So bad.
And you're not even a doctor.
No, I know. I know. And I was somehow able to ascertain that.
Yeah. Why does it have to be something so harmful? Like, do the world a favor. You know what? You're probably going to save money in the long run. Just go to the dollar store.
Yeah.
Buy some dollar store mouthwash.
Right.
Pour it into... See, we're thinking... And why are we always trying to help these people here?
I don't know. It's just the way that I'm wired. I just want to help them so bad. I want to figure out, like, I'm always looking for, like, what can we do to fix this problem just a little bit better? But I just don't understand, like, why couldn't you make it like a drink that makes you just feel really good? Like, gives you, like, a lot of antioxidants. And then it's like, oh, I feel so much better after drinking that.
So, like, a green smoothie.
Yeah, it could just feel so much. You could just feel so much better. And then it would be harder for you to say, well, it's not taking care of this disease or that disease. It's at least making me feel better. It's almost like a placebo or just, you know, helping with dopamine or something.
Muriatic acid must just be cheap.
Maybe
it is. You
know,
it must be cheaper than, like, kale and bananas.
Yeah.
That's all I can think of.
Yeah. And then the other thing is like nobody ever does like a topical cream, like something that you can put on your skin. Like, why not just do that, too? It would be so hard. I don't know. Why am I trying to help these people? I don't understand what I'm doing.
Well, I tell you what, I think if you put this on your skin, you would definitely feel some kind of a tingle and think it was working.
Right. Hey. And even if it was really awful or if it left like a really bad burn,
which
on
it
you,
would, yeah, I'm yeah. pretty sure.
Yeah. But at least the tingle makes you feel like it's working.
So I'm sure you've seen these before because I still see them late at night. The ads for Peter Popoff's Miracle Spring Water.
Oh, yeah, yeah. The Miracle
Which is
Spring
not
water.
The same as this. Not
right.
the same as
yeah,
this.
Much different.
Much. Well, yes. The ads for the Miracle Spring Water,
yeah.
you know, always say that these are real people with real needs.
Mm-hmm.
And all you have to do is send away for the water. You uh-huh. drink the water. You pray for a miracle, and then, like, I don't know, a week later, a check for about 10 grand just shows up in the mail.
Boom, lickety split.
Lickety split.
Yep.
I mean, I think that's great.
Yeah.
I've been trying this for a long time with vodka.
Yeah.
It does not work the same way.
But at least you're getting the vodka, you know.
Yeah, it's my little miracle cure for what ails
For whatever
me,
ails
I
you,
guess.
Right? Yeah. Whatever miracle that water brings you, that's important.
It's my snake oil.
It is. It's your snake oil to get you by.
Well, I guess we need to move on to our last story.
Last story.
All right, so Florida politicians are in the news. Here locally, of course, we had a city councilman who went viral for pulling his mask over his eyes and appearing to snooze at a city council meeting. But is nothing compared to our final story today.
No, it's not.
So this one comes from FloridaPolitics.com. K.W. Miller is a political candidate in Florida's 18th congressional district. That's West Palm Beach, Port St. Lucie, Fort Pierce, that area. Miller says he's a constitutional conservative.
Okay.
And he went viral over Independence Day weekend thanks to a series of tweets.
Oh, boy. Okay.
Probably the most controversial post in his tweet storm said that Beyonce is not African American.
All right.
She is faking it for exposure. Her real name is Anne Marie Lastrassi.
Really?
She's Italian.
Oh.
This is all part of the George Soros deep state agenda for the Black Lives Matter movement.
Of course it is.
Beyonce, you are on notice.
Beyonce.
Yes, for maximum effect, he also hashtagged Trump 2020 and QAnon.
Okay.
He later, in another tweet, called Beyonce a Marxist deep state operative and said her lyrics prove she worships in Satanist churches.
Oh, I wonder what lyrics those are.
Yeah, I don't recall off of the top of my head.
I don't know Beyonce's stuff that well enough to know. So I need K.W. Miller to let me know exactly.
So Beyonce was not his only target in his rant.
Okay.
He also called out 76-year-old Patti LaBelle.
Patti LaBelle?
As another Illuminati globalist puppet. He accused her of dedicating her songs to Lucifer and of being a deep state operative with a secret plan to reinstall Barack Obama as the president.
Oh, wow. Well, Patty's been at it for a long time, too. So it's unfortunate this is just now coming to light.
Miller says that his posts were just bait. They actually had nothing to do with religion or race.
What?
By the way, there are four other candidates on the November ballot, including incumbent Brian Mast. Congressman Mast's spokesperson has responded to the tweets.
Oh.
He says that the congressman is too busy dealing with coronavirus and doesn't have any time for conspiracy theories about Beyonce and Patti LaBelle.
Okay, that's good.
So way to raise above it.
Yeah, staying above it. I love that that is just the right thing to do. So this guy sounds like he's just a walking tinfoil hat. Like, it's just conspiracy theories abound. I don't think it's a good idea to decide your issues based on what you're reading in chain letters.
Yeah.
You know, like chain emails that you get. It's like, otherwise you're going to have a Nigerian prince that's working for you as your campaign manager.
Maybe he has a Nigerian prince as his campaign manager.
It would be the next most appropriate controversy to bring up.
I hear they're great fundraisers.
Yeah.
So, do you remember, like, actual handwritten chain letters?
I never saw anything like that happen in my little small town that I grew up in.
Corey's a few years younger than me.
Right.
And yeah, sometimes we hit these little things where I'm like, do you remember these? He's like, no. And this is one of those things. So, I remember...
So, did they show up in different colored envelopes, or are they weird looking, or are they just
no,
look
it
like
would just be sometimes
stuff?
It would be handwritten sometimes if somebody had a typewriter or I mean, this is back in the 70s, so not as much access to copy machines, but you would get them and it would be, you know, make 10 copies and send them to 10 of your friends. And I honestly, it may have just been a scam to keep the post office going. I have no idea.
It could have been. Cliff Clavin was probably behind it. No, but I'm thinking especially if you don't have like a Kinko's, you know, and again, I'm also dating myself with this. It's like, if you don't have like copy places,
there were
to make
no
these,
copy places.
Does that mean that you had to handwrite them out?
Yes.
Oh my gosh. It's awful.
Get hand cramps writing this. If you don't do this, you're going to have bad luck for 6 years and grow warts and whatever else.
Growing up in the internet age, all I thought was, oh, I'm not going to mail this off to 10 people.
I'm not
going to
forward this email.
That would take 2 seconds to do that. I'm smart enough to not want to do that. But I can't imagine like being gripped with fear that if I don't copy these things out by hand and mail them to like just 10 random people, what is happening?
It would be, you know what?
This is like a revelation, like learning this about our country.
Well, you know,
like what people had to go through,
and
it's like walking uphill in snow both ways. So much harder to deal
send
with.
A chain letter, yeah. Right? So okay, back to K.W. Miller.
Yes.
First of all, dude's got a bay in his bonnet, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
big time.
You
bay
see what
in
I'm
his
saying?
Yeah, big time.
You know, some people step in a hornet's nest. He may have stepped on a bay hive.
Oh, definitely. I would not want Beyonce upset at me and. Patti LaBelle, she's an institution.
She is. She's an American treasure. Yeah. I mean, not just her music, but her sweet potato pie. Come on, do not mess with Miss Patti LaBelle.
Well, and, you know, we all have social media friends that are a little off the deep end. You know, people that are acquaintances of ours that spew, like,
sometimes
some weird stuff or whatever.
Relatives, typically, sometimes.
Yeah, yeah. It's people that you can't get rid of easily just because it's like, oh, just because I disagree with you, I'm still going to be friends with you because you've been in my life for a long time.
Right.
But usually those people don't run for office. and then everybody has to deal with them. And
right?
That's really crazy to think of. Yeah.
K.W. Miller is like all of the people that I have unfriended on Facebook or unfollowed on Facebook
right.
since like January.
Yeah.
Because there's been a lot of it this
yeah,
year.
Yeah, yeah. A lot of people are getting axed.
Yeah.
Big time. No, and then also just going through like some of the stuff that he was saying about Beyonce and Patti LaBelle, doesn't it feel like he's just filling out a Mad Libs for all of these crazy like ideas? It's like Marxist. It's like, so insert weird group here. Insert right. weird
celebrity
here.
Name.
Yeah, celebrity name here.
Nationality.
Yeah, I feel like everything's
fringe political
yeah.
group.
It's sort of like he's tweeting by numbers, and it's just little Mad Libs to for him to fill out.
I
Might
think we came up with a
way.
Brilliant idea: Florida Freak Show Mad Libs.
I love it.
I know.
We're gonna mail that to ourselves, and then we're gonna mail it to 10 other people.
Right.
Yeah.
And we're going to tell them to make 10 copies
make
of it and send it to
of
all
that,
of their friends
yeah.
as well.
Yeah. Going to mail it to ourselves so we can keep that idea so nobody steals it.
Okay, so K.W. Miller.
K.W. Mill.
K.W. Mill.
Yep.
Strangest politician in Florida?
Oh, he's just getting started. So, I mean, it's all right. So my favorite. My
Not
favorite,
even close, right?
My favorite football player is Patrick Mahomes. And a lot of people are talking about how he's the GOAT already and all that sort of stuff. He's just getting started with his career. It's off to a good start, just like K.W. Miller's in like weird, you know, weird Florida stuff. He's got a long way to go, but he's off to a good start.
Okay.
But I
All
just
right.
don't.
He's not a Carl Hyacin character yet.
Not quite there yet, but he's getting there fast. Now,
All right.
I'm sure that we can come up, think of some other much more corrupt or weird Florida politicians.
Oh, absolutely. I remember Alan Grayson.
Alan
Grayson once said that Dick Cheney had fangs that dripped with blood, and after he gave speeches, he turned into a bat and flew away. Dick Cheney did, not Alan Grayson did.
Okay, wow. That's,
yeah.
That's nuts. That's definitely Trump.
I mean, I don't know if he actually believed it.
I
think it might have been hyperbole. I don't
yeah.
know.
Well, I found this really cool article when we were talking about this a little earlier, you know, that was ranking some of the most corrupt Miami area cities and towns. And I just wanted to share like one or two of them with you. So in 2018, Miami Beach had released this ethics study that they did that showed that 22% of their city employees, now these are not politicians, these 22% of their city employees had been offered a bribe on the job.
Wow.
That okay. sounds ridiculous, but it actually turned out to be really good news for them because it showed great progress because just 5 years earlier, they were at 27%. So they were 5% higher than they were. So they're already moving in the right direction.
So do you think that maybe just 5% of them realized it was probably a better idea to lie about the bribes that they had received?
Well, I mean, if you're already getting bribes, yeah. I mean, it's probably like, hey, wait a second.
Okay, so back to...
This is the same study that we did before. I'm just not going to tell the truth this time.
Yeah, so yeah. Okay, back to weird politicians.
More weird
then.
Politicians.
Congressman Ted I think it was Yoho?
Yoho.
Yoho.
And a bottle of corruption.
No, not corrupt. Just, I remember he voted against the tanning bed tax, which, I mean, you know, a lot of unnecessary taxation. Of course, a lot of people don't like extra taxation. But his reason for voting against the tanning bed tax was that it was racist against white people.
Mm.
Because only white people were going to get tans.
Oh, right. They're pigmentist.
Yes.
They're a melatonist.
It was a melatoninist. Yeah. No, melaninist.
Melaninist, yeah.
Melaninist policy. I hate those are the worst.
Melaninist people.
There was also Augustus Invictus.
Augustus Invictus.
I believe is not his real name. He was running for Marco Rubio's Senate seat, and in years past, in previous years, he had actually recorded himself slaughtering a goat and drinking its blood.
Oh.
He did not win, by the way. Marco Rubio still doing his thing. Yeah, so what you got?
Oh, so one more that I have is in North Miami, there was this great headline that said, "Indict North Miami Mayor Andre Pierre."
Okay.
And the reason why is this guy pulled off so many corrupt deals that you could barely keep up with them all. So these are just like a few of them that you could think that I got for you. So Pierre had been caught up trying to move money out to his friends in a series of questionable deals.
Okay.
He was also...
that's pretty normal by Florida standards. Yeah,
It's only going to get worse.
It's just shady. Yeah,
right. He was rolling around town in a $100,000 Porsche that he just kind of said, I just neglected to let you know that that was a gift.
Oh, it was a gift.
Yeah. So it's just nobody needs to know about that.
If anybody wants to give me a Porsche as a gift, I also will not report it.
Right. And then in addition to that, he also blew $4,000 to make up fake police badges to give out to all of his friends.
Oh.
So they could just do all kinds of nefarious stuff if they wanted
to. I'm pretty sure you can order fake sheriff badges for much cheaper than that online.
Well, I'm sure you can. But, I mean, this is a guy that doesn't really...
Clearly not frugal.
Yeah. Right. And then he authorized $8,000 just to bug city hall offices with cameras.
Oh.
Yeah.
All right. Secret cameras.
Yeah. So just, like not letting people know about it. Yeah. Just using taxpayer dollars. Right. Just not cool. Like the guy, it's just like, thing after thing after thing after,
Yeah, so it sounds like K-Dub Mills still has a way to go.
He's got some people to shoot for now. He's got,
aspirations.
Right, aspirations.
Goals.
Yeah. Keep putting out them conspiracy theories, man. Keep mad-libbing that stuff up.
Yeah, you never know. Yeah. Throw the stuff against the wall, see what sticks, right? Yeah.
Go after Flo Rida next. He's local.
Oh,
right?
Yeah,
and I got nothing against Flo Rida. I actually like him, but I mean, it's like, he's local. Why not?
Yeah.
It's an idea.
So one thing I learned when talking about Flo Rida once on Twitter.
What's that?
Not a good hashtag.
No, it's awful.
Flo, yeah. Who are you talking about? Are you talking about Florida? Are you talking about Flo Rida?
I know.
You know, in the era of social media, we really need to think about these things.
And he came about during social media. I don't know what he was thinking.
I don't either. All right. So what did we learn this week aside from pick your social media handles?
Yes. So I learned that you can build a house in Florida using just brass balls and burner phones.
Yeah. Well, I learned that there may be a new emerging market to invest in for pinstriped hazmat suits.
I am looking into that already. Going on Amazon. If you're selling a miracle cure, just have it cure one thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Don't spread yourself too thin.
Well, just make the message easy. Yeah. Simplify the message.
All right. And finally, I learned that K.W. Miller may need to follow Patti LaBelle's advice and get himself a new attitude. Yeah, that was awful.
I thought it was pretty good.
You were good. I was out of tune.
Well, we didn't really discuss this before.
Yeah. So those were our freakiest Florida finds for the week. But as always, you can find plenty of other wacky news stories from across the Sunshine State on our Facebook and Twitter pages.
That's right. Remember to follow us, like us, and share us. That's at FLA Freak Show. And if you see a Florida story we missed, feel free to share it with us.
That's right. And also, do not forget to rate, review, and subscribe on your favorite podcast platform. Tell a friend. It really helps us out and helps us find more freaky fans like you.
And finally, now that this episode is nearly over, take a quick trip to podcastawards.com and submit your votes for the Florida Freak Show in the People's Choice section and the comedy category. All you need to do is register, then pick Florida Freak Show from the drop-down menus for the comedy category and the People's Choice category. Until next time, I'm Corey O'Donnell.
And I'm Kirsten O'Donnell. We'll be back next week. And until then, let your Florida freak flag fly.
Goodbye.